world of sex as a business is different today than it was 20 years ago, but as far as change goes, things are just warming up. The changes to come will challenge our assumptions, not to mention our moral values, in new ways. This is the last in KBOO's 10-episode series on the business of sex in Portland. In this episode, we offer some closing thoughts.
So what's the state of the sex industry here? Do we have a realistic view of it? We quoted Amory Jane in episode 4, but it's worth repeating.
I know many sex workers personally, and most of them love their job. I know people who work as escorts, and I know people who work as dancers. And I think it's really complicated of an issue to talk about because there also is trafficking, and there are underage people who get kidnapped or coerced into this. But they're two very different things. Coerced, forced sex work is different than consensual. And there are a lot of really outspoken sex workers in Portland who are proud of their jobs.
In one world, sex workers have what she calls agency. And in another world, we have people who the police call victims.
The majority of the women in the life that I have met currently or previously had a trafficker. The problem you see is that we see that the average age of entry into trafficking is 13 to 15 years old.
Right.
There aren't 13 to 15-year-old girls making choices to do this, right? Even if you have adult, older women, a lot of the adult or women we see who don't have traffickers have severe drug addiction.
Right.
Is that really are they really making a choice, or is that a necessity for them?
And then there's the world in which sex industry workers have workers' rights under state law.
I want employees that are in this industry to know that if they believe that they're being mistreated, that there is a place they can go at the Bureau of Labor and Industries, even if it's just to get information about their situation or to have a confidential discussion about what their rights are.
But there's a parallel world where they either play by club rules or they don't work at all.
You pay the strip club to work there via a stage fee. And after tipping out, everything you keep is just from the tips that people give you and the dances you make. The environment for the strippers in Portland is just dancing for free for people drinking,
yeah.
And you're not making hardly anything.
Are we dealing with this industry in a constructive way? What could we do differently to improve how we approach it? Would it be a good idea to make prostitution legal? There's the Nordic model, and then there's an open model.
There isn't a perfect way to look at this. It seems that decriminalization is something that works. It doesn't work perfectly, but it works in most places because it doesn't push the industry underground, where people that are vulnerable become more vulnerable and contacts are lost with outreach services and with police.
And what about the organizations in Portland that support sex workers who are victims or women who are trying to escape the life? Are they effective?
The police try to make services available to the people they arrest.
And when we do these missions, like if we do a mission where we're trying to get a seller, we will have community-based social service groups with us as we're doing these missions. LifeWorks Northwest, New Options for Women, Sexual Assault Resource Center are probably the two biggest ones.
But some find the social support system ineffective.
Are the organizations in Portland that work to help women in the sex trade, are they effective? Is there enough support from those organizations?
I can't even think of any organization that helps dancers, let alone prostitutes, sex workers in general. Every so often there are people who kind of like patronize strippers by coming in and giving them cupcakes and telling them that God loves them. We don't have access to resources to help us, like if we need housing, healthcare, anything. So
yeah.
the groups that we identify that we think are in those roles are not really working with you, is that right?
No.
Are we doing enough to fight sex trafficking? Yes. Trafficking is a scary thing, and it deserves every bit of attention that it gets.
A person that is involved as a victim of sex trafficking, unfortunately, has a very short life expectancy. Sex trafficking is inherently violent. It is dangerous, and both from at the hands of the trafficker, but also at the risks that just come or that are associated with sex trafficking. And whether that's being victimized, whether that's being exposed to sexually transmitted diseases like HIV and AIDS, it is a very dangerous enterprise.
But does trafficking sometimes distract us from the larger issue?
What the cops publicize as trafficking is incredibly rare. But if we throw out the word trafficking and instead talk about child sexual exploitation, it's not rare. The problem is it happens in homes and it happens in places that you can't get at, that the police can't get at. And that's incredibly frightening to a lot of people to know that 2/3 of all sexual assaults are by people, members of your family or people that you know. And that's not something people want to hear. They don't want to hear that they know rapists. They don't want to know that, like, there are children being raped at home.
Will things get worse for sex workers? Here's how Red sees that situation.
Do you see any changes coming in the future?
I think it's going to get a lot more dangerous. I think there's going to be more crackdowns, more arrests. I think they're going to make it harder for us to work. I think a lot more people are going to die.
Why do you think that, Red?
Because we have an administration that hates women, hates poor people. And they have already started cracking down.
What signs do you see that they're cracking down more now?
Well, Backpage gave up. For example, we have a president who doesn't respect women at all and thinks that he can sexual assault with impunity. We have a militarized police force that's only gaining more power. I just don't see anything good coming for women and poor people. And that automatically means that sex workers will be affected because sex workers are disproportionately poor people of color and women of color.
Closing thoughts. What else? Do the enforcement organizations feel that they are making progress?
Do you feel you're making progress?
You know, I do, because I think that the issue is really out there more. People are talking about it. People are thinking about it. Do I think that it'll ever go away? No, I don't. But it doesn't mean don't fight it. You know, there's a lot of things that aren't going to change, but I still think we need to put up the good fight.
So how's it going? Are you making progress?
We hope we are.
Right.
It's hard to know.
This is kind of be a rough comparison, but like the war, you know, I want to say the war on drugs. We're not focusing on the dealers. We're focusing on what would be the users, and we're trying to get the users treatment to get them off of the drugs. So if they're not going to buy it anymore, the dealers don't have a product to sell. It's the same thing.
On a lighter note, what will happen to sex work when robots are doing all the work?
Lately, I've heard more and more discussion of the world coming where no one has to work any longer. So what
yes.
will happen with sex work when no one has to work?
Well, no one will be able to pay for it. Make abolitionists.
No. That's not true, Doctor. We're going to get stipends from the government. We're getting into a world of virtual reality. We're not far from that. And I would think that sex work could be a very fruitful ground in virtual reality.
One of the things that people forget is that not everybody who's a client is after the sex. I know it might make you laugh, but actually there are clients who are after companionship and conversation. And, you know, especially regular clients, you often talk to sex workers and they'll tell you that these are almost friends. These are people that, you know, have maybe even lent them money and they listen to all their troubles. And, you know, they may or may not have sex.
So what will the future look like? If there was one trend I'd bet on, it would be that the sex business will begin to fall into the same monopoly patterns that we've seen in every business over roughly the last 50 years. Here's the parallel. It wasn't so long ago that gambling was pretty much illegal everywhere and in all its forms. Gradually, we've seen the evolution of gambling from church bingo and horse racing to statewide lotteries and casinos everywhere in the U.S. Now gambling is one of the major forms of recreation in the nation. And we've seen global companies emerge as near monopolies practically overnight. Companies like Uber and Airbnb in travel, and big pharmaceutical companies moving into the cannabis industry, and MindGeek in porn. I'd bet the ranch that within a generation, prostitution will be legal in every state except Alabama, and that venture capitalists will finance a publicly traded company that will find sex partners for travelers anywhere in the world. There'll be an online reservation system that includes airline, car, hotel, escort, all with one click. Oh, just kidding. That will never happen. And what about the difference between the sexual exploitation of women or men in the movie industry or in the White House in what is called quid pro quo sexual harassment and sexual exploitation in prostitution, porn, and stripping? It's all in the same family of bad behavior, no? And a final note. We've seen so many changes in our economy and culture. They've been coming fast, and each one tops the last in its power and impact. But stand by. The sale of sex is an industry, and it's on the verge of changes that will collapse the last 1,000 years into a generation. Get ready. The next phase of reality may be more virtual than it is virtuous.
We want your feedback. This is our last full episode, but we still want to hear you speak your mind on the subject. If you have a comment or question about the series or about the sex trade, we'd like to hear it. Call the KBU Newsroom at 503-231-8032, extension 202, and we'll hear you out and put you on the air. I'm Natalie.
And I'm Tom. Thanks for listening.